that good? Okay, better? You're welcome. Okay, I also, before we start, I just want to apologize in advance. You have a list of sources in front of you, and of course, you know, we give in the sources, you know, for a while before we give the shiur, and then as I started thinking about it and redoing it and reconfiguring it, I use the same sources, but I kind of use them in a different order. So I guess it'll keep you awake because we're going to be flipping back and forth. But, you know, last minute, as I was looking at it, I decided to go more chronologically instead of the order that I had given you the sources in. So just follow along with me, and I'll make it, you know, hopefully as clear as possible. But you have all the sources just in a little bit of a different order. Okay, so we're talking about Sarah Imenu, mother, wife, matriarch. The first source I brought you is the beginning of Lech Lecha, which we're introduced, here we're really introduced to Avraham for the first time, and we see here that Avraham is chosen as Hashem for a mission. And Hashem tells him, "Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech lecha me'artecha u'mimoladecha mi'beit avicha el ha'aretz asher areka, ve'escha legoy gadol v'avarchacha v'agadla shemecha v'heyei bracha, v'avarcha mevarachachacha u'mekalecha aor v'nivrachu b'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama." Hashem gives Avraham this bracha. And basically, when you see, I mean, he tells Avraham to go to Eretz Israel. And you see in these two psukim, three psukim, you have the repetition of the word bracha in different formats, mentioned five different times. And right off the bat, what we see is that Avraham is chosen for something very special. In fact, one source that you don't have here, I thought I included it, but I'm just going to read for you. Hebrew University Professor Kasuto says the following. He says, Chamesh pa'amim huzkar b'psukim ele l'Avraham milim mishoresh barech. There are five times that the word barach is used in these few psukim. Barech v'avarchacha v'heyei bracha v'avarcha m'avarchachacha v'nivrachu v'harei zeh shefa shel bracha shefa shel ruach Hashem. What he says is that because the word bracha is mentioned five times within two psukim, this bracha is parallel to at the beginning of Bereishit when we had the word or, when the word light was introduced into the world. It's mentioned five times, Vayomer Hashem vayhi or, five times in two psukim at the beginning of Bereishit. You have or, the light introduced into the world. We know the first day of Bereishit, when light was created, it wasn't a physical light because the sun didn't come until day four. So it was the spiritual light of Hashem that was created on that first day. Says Kasuto, the five times that bracha is mentioned with Avraham is now parallel to the five times that the word or is mentioned at the beginning of Bereishit. Because now, with the emergence of Avraham into the world, the light of Hashem is now going to be embedded in the world. And if you think about it, it's interesting, because from the beginning of Bereishit, when man was created, didn't exactly work out the way Hashem had wanted. The whole fulfillment of creation had not really happened the way Hashem had wanted it to happen. And the problem was that or, that spiritual or, was not embedded in the world in the way that it was supposed to be. And that's why 10 generations after Adam, Hashem had to destroy the world by the Mabul, by the flood. 10 generations later, Avraham emerges. So what I want to try to suggest today is that certainly Avraham was chosen for a mission. He was chosen to bring spirituality into the world. He was chosen because up until now, the reason that Hashem had created the world had not been fulfilled, and that spiritual light had not been embedded in the world. And now, with the emergence of Avraham, this five times, this bracha that Avraham is bringing into the world represents take a drink of water, sorry, represents the five times that Or is mentioned at the beginning of Bereshit. What I want to show here is that what made Avraham qualitatively different than anybody that came before him is that Avraham had a partner. And what we know from the beginning of Bereshit, when Hashem created Adam, and then he created a partner for Adam, he created Chava, and he said that Chava is going to be Ezer Kenegdo. And we don't have time to go into that. That's a separate whole shiur, what exactly that Ezer Kenegdo is. But what we do know is that Chava never really fulfilled that role of Ezer Kenegdo. And what I want to suggest here is that the reason that Avraham was chosen for the mission he was chosen for, even Noach wasn't chosen. Noach was chosen to survive, but not to be the conveyor of the Mesorah. The reason that Avraham was chosen was because he had a partnership with Sarah, that partnership fulfilled that Ezer Kenegdo, that relationship between husband and wife that Hashem had first wanted and desired when he first created woman for man. And that's what Chava became. And I want to show you here this morning how Chava is really a major role in this part, in this mission of Avraham. She's his partner through the entire... Sarah, what did I say, Avraham? So Sarah is a partner with Avraham through the entire story. And as we go through the story of Avraham, as we go through the story in Bereshit from the beginning, from Lech Lecha, we'll see how this becomes clearer and clearer. Even when Avraham doesn't necessarily recognize this as strongly as Sarah does, we'll go through the story, and that's why I decided to go through more chronologically instead of the thematic order that I had given you the sources in. But you really see it, this idea emerging that Sarah is Avraham's equal and his partner, and everything that he accomplished in terms of the Mesorah could not have been accomplished without her. So moving along here, in that first source also, a few psukim later in Lech Lecha, we see that when the two of them, when Avraham leaves to go to Eretz Canaan, it says, "Vayikach Avraham et Sarah ishto ve'et Lot ben Achi ve'et kol rechusham asher rachashu ve'et ha'nefesh asher asu b'charan." And they took everything that they had, and they went with the souls that they made in Charan. I didn't bring you this source. This is one of those famous Rashi's that we... Famous Rashi's means that we learned it at some point in our lives. I think that's the definition. And Rashi there says, what does it mean they took souls that they made in Charan? And what it means is, says Rashi, is that Avraham was Megayer et ha'nashim, and Sarah was the Nashim. That Avraham would inspire and convert and teach the men, and Sarah would teach the women. So right off the bat, we see how there's a partnership here, how they share common goals. That it's not just Avraham spreading the word of Hashem, but it's Avraham with his wife, with Sarah as well. Before we go more into the story, again, I'm going chronologically, just want to point out something interesting. Right after this, in Lech Lecha, you know, right after he comes to Eretz Canaan, and then they have to leave. They have to leave because there's a famine, so they go to Mitzrayim. You don't have this in your sources, but I noticed this on Shabbos, and I thought it was worth mentioning. The very first time we see Hashem's involvement with Avraham, aside from the Lech Lecha, you know, telling Avraham, not the first nevuah that he gets, but the first, he tells Avraham, Lech Lecha, that's his first nevuah. But the first time we see Hashem intervening on Avraham's behalf is with the story of Paro and Sarah. And I'm not going to go into that story really, but that's also in Perek Yud Bet. And what happens is Paro takes Sarah. Avraham says that she's his sister. I don't have time to go through that. That's an incredible story and worth a different shiur. But Paro takes Sarah, and then Hashem strikes out to Paro. And the pasuk says, "Vayinaga Hashem et Paro negaim gdolim ve'et beito, al divar Sarai eshet Avram." And I think it's fascinating that this is the first divine intervention, the first miracle that surrounds Avraham, where there's a divine makkah sent to Paro. And why is this sent? It's al divar Sarai eshet Avraham. You're seeing here, it's because of Sarai, the wife of Avraham. She's supposed to be the wife of Avraham. She's not supposed to be with Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. And I think it's so interesting. So right off the bat, we see the two of them are a unit. There's a partnership. They're supposed to be together. And we see a similar thing. I'm going a little bit out of order for a minute, but later on we have a similar story that happens with Avimelech, where also Avimelech and Grar also take Sarah. Same story happens, and Hashem once again intervenes and comes to Avimelech in a dream, and the same words he says, he speaks to Avimelech. It says, "Ki atzor atzar Hashem be'ad kol rechem lebeit Avimelech al dvar Sarah eshet Avraham." Again, Hashem gets involved because Sarah is not supposed to be with Paro. She's not supposed to be with Avimelech. She's supposed to be with Avraham. This is a unit. This is a unit that you can't mess with. And that's, I think, the message that you see from the Pshat. Moving along, so the next source that you have, let me just see what source it is. The next source is source number 2. And this is right before Bris Ben Hapsarim. So we see, again, Avram and Sarah are a unit. And Hashem is making Avram all these promises. And he's telling him, you know, you're going to be Veschal Goy Gadol. And Avraham's response to Hashem here is, Vayomer Avram, Hashem Eloki, Ma Titen Li, Va'anochi Holech Ariri. I don't have any children. Again, I don't have time to really go into what he's saying there because I'm using this as a stepping stone. But you see here that Avram's concerned. You know, they don't have children. And right now, Hashem is making him all these promises, but yet he's saying, I don't have children. And look at the next pasuk. Vayomer Avram, hein li lo natata zera, v'hinei ben beiti yoreish oti. You haven't given me a child. So you're making me all these promises, but that personal child, where is this child coming from? And again, is he questioning Hashem? He's not doubting Hashem. A lot of discussion there, which we don't have time for. But you see that Abraham is bothered by this. So file that for a minute. And I think we see from here also that maybe Abraham is not quite noticing at this point the partnership, the importance of Sarah in this partnership. And we'll see that a little bit later also. So again, he's concerned because of the lack of a child. So then, moving along in the story, we have the story of the Bris Ben Hapsarim. And that's the big revelation to Avraham, where Hashem makes this bris with him and, you know, cut up. That's also a shir in and of itself, where the animals are cut up and Hashem walks, you know, or the fire of Hashem and Avraham walk with it. And Hashem is making this brit with him that promises him the Masorah and Bnei Israel and Eretz Israel and everything. That's the big bris. And then immediately after the Bris Ben Hapsarim, and now we're going to move, you have it as source number 11, but I'm doing it as source number 3. Immediately after the Bris Ben Hapsarim is over, the next pasuk is Perek Tet Zayin, because again, Bris Ben Hapsarim is in Tet Vav. Perek Tet Zayin, V'sarai Eshet Avram Lo Yalda Lo. So what's happening here is that Hashem made this bris with Avraham. Hashem makes this bris with Avraham and promises him that he's going to be, you know, so great and have this great nation. But there's a problem here. The problem is that Sarai didn't have children with him. The Sarai eshet Avraham, and it's so interesting also, notice as we go through the psukim, every time Sarai is mentioned, she's mentioned as Eshet Avram. We know who she is. You know, Ain't Davar Miutar Bat Torah. There's nothing extra in the Torah. If the Torah keeps telling us that she's Sarah's, she's Avraham's wife, there's a reason. So again, Sarah Eshet Avraham doesn't have children. And she's the key player in here. So now we'll go through, I was going to do that afterwards, but we'll go through the story of Hagar, which is a difficult story. So she sees that she doesn't have children. So she tries, V'la shivcha mitzri toshma Hagar. But Tomer Sarai al Avram, Hine na atzerani Hashem miledet, bona el shivchati ulai ibane mimena. And Sarah recognizes that she's the one who has to be in this partnership with Avram. Maybe because Hagar is my shivcha, my servant, maybe I can build through her. Let's try it. You know, Avram was concerned that he doesn't have children, so maybe this will work. So, and you see, Sarah does this selfless act, and you see, Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai, and you see very clearly, as desperate as Avram was to have children, he's only doing this because Sarai told him to. And then what happens? Vatikach Sarai Eshet Avraham et Hagar Hamitzrit. And notice, it keeps calling her Eshet Avraham. Don't forget that really she's the key player here. And et Hagar Mitzrit Shivchata Miket, etc. Vatiteno Tala Avram Isha. And she gives her to Avram, her husband, Loli Isha, to be a wife. And what happens? Actually, before we go on with the rest of the psukim here, look at the Ramban. It's your number 12. It's the next source, which is the Ramban. I'm just following along now from where you're at. Just leave the place that you have now. You're fine. Okay, so it's listed as your 12, but it's really number 4 here. So the Ramban says, Vayishma Avram l'kol Sarai. The Ramban points out that this story shows an incredible respect that Avraham and Sarah had for each other. It says, Vayishma Avram l'kol Sarai, lo amar hakatu vayas kein, aval ki shama l'kol Sarai, yermoz ki afal pi she'avam mitavem me'od lebanim, lo asakein belo reshut Sarai. Even though he was desperate to have children, he didn't do it until Sarah told him to. V'gam ata lo nitkaven shivane hu mehagar v'yez zar'o mimena aval kol kavanato lasot ritzon Sara shetivneha mimena shehiye la nachat ruach b'vnei shivchata and or the zchut. And so in other words, Avraham did it because Sarah wanted him to, even though he personally was desperate for children. And you see that he's doing it because of her, and she's doing it because of him. And the Ramban continues and says, at the last three lines, she gave him, here it says, "V'lo hirchika atzma mi'etzlo, ki hi ishto." She knows that she's Avram's wife, v'hu isha, aval ratzta shetiye gam Hagar ishto, v'lachen amar lo le'isha, shelo tiye kepilegesh, rak ki'isha nisu'a lo, v'chol ze musar Sarah v'hachavod, she noheget beba'ala. That when Sarah gives Hagar to Avram for a wife, she gives Hagar to him as a wife, le'isha, because she doesn't want Avraham to have a pilegesh, a concubine. She wants him to have a full-fledged wife, even though it might be more difficult for her. But she knows that she's Avraham's partner, she knows that she's Avraham's wife, and she wants to show kavod to her husband, so that's why she's giving Hagar to him. You can imagine how difficult this and how painful this story is for Sarah. But again, you know, certainly according to the Ramban, you see the incredible relationship and the selflessness that they both have for each other. Then what happens? What happens after that is that, back to the psukim, Vayavo al Hagar vatahar, vatera ki harata vatakel gvirata beineha. And this, you can imagine, was so incredibly painful for Sarah, that Hagar then went and slept with Avraham and immediately became pregnant. And as soon as she became pregnant, she began to look down on Sarah. And Rashi there says, again, your next source, Rashi, which comes right after the Ramban, Vayavo al Hagar, Rashi points out, Mibia Rishona, the first time they were together. Here Sarah's waited for years and years to have children. The first time Hagar's with Avraham, she goes and gets pregnant. So continuing on, Vatakel Gvirata Beineha, why did she start looking down on Sarah? Amra, Sarai Zu, Ein Stira Ki Gluya Mira'a Atzma Ki'ilu Hi Tzadeket, Ve'ina Tzadeket, Shelo Zachta Leherayon Kol HaShanim Halalu, Ve'ani, thanks, Nitzavarti Mibiya Rishona, that here Sarah thinks she's such a tzadekes, and obviously she's not. Because if she was such a tzadekes, then she would have been able to have children. Here she's been with Avram all this time. Obviously, it's Sarah's problem. It's not Avraham's problem. So that's why she looked down on Sarah. What you see is, gets much more dramatic here. In the next pasuk, Vatomer Sarai al Avram, Chamasi alecha, Anochi natati shivchati b'chaykecha v'tereki harata v'aykal b'ineha yishpot Hashem b'ini u'v'inecha. Sarah gets very upset at Avraham here. And if you look back in Rashi, Rashi says, Chamasi alecha, why is Sarah so angry at Avraham? Says Rashi, Chamas ha'asui li alecha. Ani metil ha'onesh yitpalalta la'kadosh baruch hu. Ma titen li v'anochi holeich ariri. Lo hitpalalta ela alecha. V'haya lecha lehitpalel al shneinu. says Sarah to Abraham, I'm so angry at you. Why? Because maybe you didn't recognize that really I'm your partner in all this. When you called out to Hashem and you said, I don't have children, you said, I don't have children. You didn't say, we don't have children. You said, li lo natata zera, as opposed to saying, lanu lo natata zera. You said to Hashem, I don't have children, instead of saying, we don't have children. And maybe that's why this is happening now. Maybe you didn't fully recognize that it's not just your child, but it's our child, that I'm your partner in this whole Masorah thing. And that's why she's so upset at Avraham here. Interestingly, I brought you the next two sources, again, just following along, to show you how, we feel very bad for Sarah in this whole thing. But I just wanted to show you how the Ramban, in the next two sources, the Ramban and the Radak, they both say, even though whether or not, Sarah was justified or she was certainly upset. I mean, Rashi also adds at the end, by the way, that she was also upset. That last line, Ve'od zvarecha tachomes mimeni she'ata shomea bizyoni v'shotek. You're also not getting involved. Avram didn't want to, he wasn't confrontational. And Sarah was upset and hurt that Avraham didn't, stand up for her. That when Hagar was, looking down on her, Avraham didn't get involved. And in fact, Avraham's response was, she's your servant, do what you want with her. I don't want to get involved. You can do whatever you want. And that's why the rest of the story, we should look at the Pshat first before we look at the Ramban and the Radak. So what happens? When she says to Avraham, she's so upset at him, Vayomer Avraham el Sarah, Hinei shivchatech biyadech, asila chatov beinayich. Do what you want with her. You could punish her. So vataneha Sarai. So Sarai did oppress Hagar, vativrach mipaneha, and Hagar ran away from Sarai. The Ramban there says, and we're going off for a minute, but just to show you here, Sarah's key role in this whole thing. The Ramban says, vataneha Sarai vativrach mipaneha chata imenu beinoy hazeh. That Sarah sinned here, says the Ramban. Sarah was wrong. This is the first time Hagar gets sent away. We'll do the second time later. That she was right, we'll see. But here, this first time that a pregnant Hagar was sent away because of Sarah's oppression, says the Ramban, Sarah was wrong here. Begam Avraham behani chola sotkem, and Avraham was wrong for allowing this to happen. V'shama Hashem elaneha, v'natan la sheyehe pera adam la'anot zera Avraham v'sarai v'chomineha inui. And says the Ramban, this is the whole ma'aseh avot siman levanim. You look at this and it just kills you, And he says, because of this inui, because of this oppression, because of what Sarah did to Hagar, Hagar's child, future child, Ishmael, will continue to oppress Sarah's children, Bnei Israel. And it's right here. It's a prophecy. It's a nevuah. And this is what the Ramban says. And this is, where Sarah went wrong. But again, because, you see that Sarah's actions, Sarah's such a key player in this whole Masorah, that her positive and negative actions, have consequences ultimately in the history of Bnei Israel, in the history of the Jewish people, because she's such an important role in all this. And you read this, and it's so prophetic. If you see the Radak in the next source, also says that Sarah, acted selflessly, but also, couldn't really follow through with this. Says the Radak, Vayomer shivchatech biyadech, the Radak talks about how Avraham's response was, it's okay, even though she's my wife, you could deal with it. Avraham didn't want to get involved. And it says, Vatanes Sarah, Asta ima yoter midai, ve'avdaba beferach. Sarah went overboard and really made Hagar work very hard. Ve'avshar shaita makauta, makalela tota, ve'lo aita yecholat lisbalu barcha mipaneha, ve'lo neheges sarai bazeh, lo midat musar, ve'lo midat chasidut. And you could see almost the pain that the Mepharshim even feel for Sarai. Like, you could feel the pain. She was doing this selfless act, and it caused her such pain. But says the Radak at the end, maybe you shouldn't do it if you couldn't carry through with it. And she really went, overboard. And he makes a point to say it wasn't for her own kavod, but it wasn't just midat chasidut v'nefesh tova. And ki ein ra'oi la'adam la'asod ko yechol ato b'masha tachad yado. Even if she was able to do it because Hagar was her servant, maybe she shouldn't have done that. The next source is the Nitziv, the Harchev Davar. The main source of the Nitziv is the Emek Davar. But the Harchev Davar is an enhancement of his Perush. It's very, very tiny. Very tiny print. I don't expect you. It came out very small. I don't know. I'm just going to summarize it. basically, I just wanted to finish this point here before we move on to the next part of the story, which is that the Netziv says that in response to, you know, what the Ramban is saying and the Radak is saying, that Sarah sinned here, the Netziv says she didn't really sin. I mean, she definitely, you know, oppressed Hagar, but she really did it because of a certain kanai, because of a zealousness for Hashem. It wasn't her own kavod, but it was so wrong what Hagar was doing by assuming that she's, you know, the main wife of Avraham just because she got pregnant the first time. You know, appearance versus reality. It's not everything that, you know, that the assumption here wasn't correct. And that's why the Harchev Davar basically says, V'chein haya kin'at ha'esh yirat Hashem atzura bilvava. She had the kin'ah of Hashem that she did this. Kein ma'aseh Sarah im Hagar lo lehazik la'asta kein chas v'shalom. She didn't do it to hurt Hagar. Ela lekin'at kavod Hashem asta ma'ashasta v'higia lehagar. So I just wanted to point that out, you know, because we've been coming down hard on Sarah. But the Netziv points out that she didn't do it. She didn't do it with malintention. She didn't do it just because, you know, she wanted to hurt Hagar in any way. She was just full, you know, she wanted to stick up for Kavod Hashem and what she knew was right. And what she knew in her heart, that she really had to produce this child that was going to be the conveyor of the Masorah. So moving along here, now we're going to go back to what yours is, source number 3, which is my source number 9. Which is now 9. Okay, and this is a very powerful idea here. What we see here is that this next source, and again, we're moving chronologically along in the story. The next perek is Perek Yud Zayin. And this is, so what happens is Hagar comes back, she has a child, she has Yishmael, Yishmael is born, and then Hashem in Perek Yud Zayin tells Avraham that he changes Avraham's name, and he tells Avraham that he should have a bris milah. And that's when it's after bris ben habsarim, but now you're going to have a physical mark on your body to show that relationship, that bris with Hashem. And if you look at the pshat, again, let's just first look through the pshat. It is just amazing. We see here that maybe Avram still doesn't quite understand the role of Sarah in all this. And we'll see how Hashem is hitting him over the head with it. Look at the psukim. Hashem says, it says, Vayipol Avram al pana vaydaberito elokim lemar. Ani hinei briti itach. This is in Perek Yud Zayin. V'hayita le'av hamon goyim. Hashem is telling him again, you're going to be av hamon goyim. You're going to be the father of all nations. V'lo yikare'o det shimcha Avram v'haya shimcha Avraham. And your name is now going to be changed. It's not going to be Avram anymore. It's going to be now Avraham. Ki av hamon goyim nitzaticha. V'hifreiti otcha b'mod me'od. You're going to multiply. U'nitzaticha l'goyim. I'm going to give you nations. U'melachim mimcha yitzei. And kings are going to come from you. Zot briti asher tishmru b'ini u'v'neichem u'v'in zaracha acharecha. Himolachem kol zachor. And this is the brit will be marked by circumcising your sons. U'nemaltem et besar alatchem v'haya lacha l'ot brit b'ini u'v'neichem. And then he continues, after he tells him about the bris, he continues, Vayomer Elokim el Avraham, Sarai ishtecha lo tikra et shma Sarai, ki Sarah shma. And he says, also, your wife Sarah is not going to be, you're not going to call her Sarai anymore because Sarah's her name. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. That's incredible. It's such a strange way to change someone's name. Every other time that somebody's name is changed, Hashem, first of all, tells them that your name is being changed. He doesn't tell someone else. And second of all, he says, from now on, your name is not going to be this, but now it's going to be this. Here he says, she's not going to be called Sarai because that's not her name. Sarah is her name. So it's a very strange way of changing the name. We'll come back to that in a minute. And what is, and Hashem continues about Sarai. Uveirachti ota, and I'm going to bless her. Vegam natati mimena lecha ben. Uveirachtiha, and I'm going to give you a child through her, and I will bless her. Vehaita legoyim malcheya mimimeno yihiyu. Vayipol Avraham al pana vayitzchak. So after Hashem tells Avraham, you're going to have a child with Sarah, and he's emphasizing, natati mimena lecha ben uveirachtiha. She's going to be a source of blessing too. And you're going to have a child with her. What's Avram's response? His immediate response is that he laughs. We'll come back to the laughter also later. Vayomer b'libo, and he laughs and he says, you know, we're so old. And as soon as that gut reaction of, oh, wow, we're so old, how do we have this child, comes, what's his next reaction? And this is incredible. His reaction is, Vayomer Avraham in Pasuk Yurchet, El Halokim, 1 second, Lu Yishmael Yichya Lefanecha? He says to Hashem, wait a second, you're telling me big news, I'm going to have a child. Is something going to happen to Yishmael? Wait a second, is Yishmael going to die? I have a son already. And I think at this moment, we see that Avram doesn't quite get it yet. And Hashem has to pound this message home to him. And what does Hashem respond? It's like, you don't get it, Avraham. He says, Vayomer Elokim, yes, aval Sarah ishtecha yoledet lecha ben. Yes, you have Yishmael, but Sarah is your wife. She is the key player in this Masorah, and she's going to give you a child. V'karata et shmo Yitzchak, v'hakimoti et briti ito livrit olam lezaro acharav. Yes, you have a son, but this child with Sarah is going to be the one who's going to be the conveyor of the Masorah. And he continues, Yishmael shmaticha. And listen about Yishmael. Hinei beirachti oto. Don't worry. I'm going to bless him also, unfortunately, right? He's your child also. I have to bless him also. But the Hefreiti oto over here, Beiti oto od ma'od, you know, he'll have great things. Shema asar nesiyim yolid onetzativ legoi gadol. He's also your child. But ve'et briti akim et Yitzchak, but my zera, your zera is going to be Yitzchak. Your son is Yishmael. But the zera through which I'm going to establish my brit, that's going to be through Yitzchak. And what does Hashem say? Asher teled lecha Sarah lemoed hazeh v'shana ha'acheret. And again, Hashem is emphasizing to Avraham, this is going to be Sarah's child. Yishmael is your child, but Sarah's not his mother, and that's why he cannot be the chosen one. It's really incredible. And if you look at the next couple sources, just going, you know, continuing on in order, the Radak, the Ramban point this out. Look at the Radak. Vayomer aval Sarah ishtecha, lo yiye ze levad, ela gam Sarah ishtecha yoledet lecha ben. You're not in this, says the Radak. Hashem is telling Abraham, you're not doing this alone. Sarah, your wife, is very much a part of this. She's going to give you a child. V'karata shmo Yitzchak, Hashem shetzachakt, tzachakt al livrit olam zehu lezaro acharav. We'll talk about the tzchok in a minute. Hashem is saying, Sarah is your partner in building this Masorah. It's not just you. It's not just lilo natata zera. And moving along, the Ramban also says, Amarak haben asher ani mipsarecha alav Sarah ishtecha teled oto. Uvo ani mekim briti leolam ubezaro acharav. V'Yishmael avarech leharbot zaro achlomi briti. I'll bless Yishmael, says the Ramban, Hashem is telling Avraham, but not with my brit. My brit has to be the product, the zera has to be a product of you and Sarah. It can't be you and anybody else. It won't work that way. She's your partner in all this. Skip the next source for a second and look at the Tzror Amor. The Tzror Amor, which is, you're listed as 7. I'm just doing it next because this is just along the same lines. Back to the name change. And the Tzror Amor, the second father-in-law, of Rav Yosef Karo, has a very nice parish in the Torah. And they have it in this farm sale if you want to. It doesn't open until 2. So, but he says a beautiful idea about the name change. And I think this just sums up this whole idea here. That it's, again, very strange the way that Hashem kind of changed Sarah's name but didn't. You know, said from now on she's not going to be called this. Well, because it's not her name. Because Sarah is now her name. And he tells Avraham this. What's going on here? Says the Tzror Amor, Vayomer Elokim el Avram, Sarah ishtecha lo tikra et shma Sarai. Haratzon baze ki achar shehaben hanolad lecha hu misara, ra'ui hu shenishna shma kmo sheshaniti shmecha. V'im kein ra'ui hu shiye Sarai shma, b'inyan shiye ba gam kein otei, shehi sod ot brit kodesh kmo shehu ba'avraham. Says the Tzror Amor, amazing idea, fascinating idea here. Once Hashem changed Avraham's name, and Avraham became Avraham, so Sarah's name was automatically changed because Sarah is Avraham's partner. So as soon as his name changed, it's pashut that her name is also changed. Once he had that hey added in his name, her name automatically had that hey added because she is his equal partner. Look at the last two lines of that source. V'zeh she'amar, and this is why Hashem said, Sarai ishtecha. Harei hi gegufecha. She's like you. V'lachein lo tikrat shma Sarai ki Sarah shma. And that's why I don't have to start calling her by a new name, because her name is automatically Sarah already. Once your name was changed, her name was changed. Miyom she'atan nikreta Avraham. From the moment you became called Avraham, she started being called Sarah. V'zehu ki Sarah shma. V'lo amar yiyeh shma Sarah. And that's why it doesn't say, from now on it'll be Sarah. It says, she's not Sarah anymore. It's Pashut. Because she's your partner. If your name gets changed, her name gets changed. And that's why Hashem doesn't tell Sarah herself, because he just changed Avraham's name. So it becomes a Pashut thing to Avraham. Your name is changed. Sarah's name is changed as well. It's incredible that Hashem is getting this message onto Avraham so clearly. Then back to the source right previously, the rest of the pshat there. So we see that Avraham does go and have the bris milah and gives everybody in his household a bris. Even from that, by the way, we see that Avraham really is recognizing this point. You know, the fact that Sarah, that the son that he's going to have with Sarah is going to be qualitatively different. Because even look at the way, even if Avraham doesn't even recognize it at this point, but look at the way that Yishmael has his bris, and as opposed to what we're going to do next, is the way that Yitzchak does. Because that's the psukim here. Vayikach Avraham et Yishmael beno, ve'etz kol yilidei beito, ve'etz kol miknat kasbo, kol zachar be'anshei beit Avraham, ve'yamal et besar arlatam, ve'etzam hayom hazeh, kasher diber ito Elokim. Yishmael doesn't have a whole ceremony like Yitzchak does at the bris. First of all, of course, Yishmael doesn't have his bris at the right time. He's 13 years old. And he's, you know, he has his bris with everybody else in the household. It's a whole communal bris thing going on over there. But he's a part of Avraham's household, but he's not the key element in the Mesorah, in the in the bracha of Hashem. And we see that afterwards with Yitzchak, which we're going to see in a second. Before we move on to Yitzchak's bris, I just want to point out, because again, I'm right before Yitzchak is born, because our next piece will be the birth of Yitzchak. But the next perek is perek Yudchet, which is the beginning of Vayera. Just to point out, when the malachim, when the three angels come to visit Avraham, we see, even in that story, we see again, we see the hachnasat archim, we see the partnership between Avraham and Sarah. I just wanted to point it out. When Avraham invites them in, and then he comes home and he says, and he asks Sarah here. He says, "Vayimaher Avraham ha'ohala el Sarah. Vayomer mahari shlosh seim kemach solad lushi vasiu goat ve'ala bakar rats Avraham." They have they're partners here. They have this this mission that they're doing together. Even when he invites people into his home, you know, he's going and getting the food. She's preparing the food. You know, they've done this before. They do this. So again, even as the story continues, you see that, you know, everything Hashem has been telling Avraham about the partnership of Sarah in terms of the Mesorah, daily activities and the tzidkus and the hachnasat orchim that they show is really, a partnership as well. So I just wanted to point that out there. The next story in the story of Avraham and Sarah is the birth of Yitzchak. And that is okay, and that is in Perek Chaf Aleph, which is source 10, right? Okay. Source 10. So after all this, you know, the malachim come and they say that Sarah's going to have a child, and this is when Sarah hears this. And then what happens? V'Hashem pakad et Sarah kasher amar, v'yas Hashem l'Sarah kasher diber. V'tahar v'tel et Sarah l'Avraham ben l'zkunav, l'mo'ed asher diber ito Elokim. And Sarah has a child as Hashem had promised. V'yikra Avraham et shem b'no hanolad lo asher yalda lo Sarah Yitzchak. Again, look at the, if you just look at the pshat, you're blown away by it. I mean, every single time Sarah's mentioned, she's mentioned as, you know, Eshet Avraham, and here Avraham calls his son, the one who Sarah gave birth to, Yitzchak. You know, it's, the Torah is telling us, this child is different. This child is not Yishmael. This child is not Hagar's child. And what happens? And Yitzchak has a bris milah. And also, just in terms of the bris, there, I don't have time to go into this, but there is a very strong bris connection in all this. I mean, even the fact that Avraham, you know, when Yitzchak was conceived, Avraham had a bris. When Yishmael was, he didn't. So that's part of it also. And the bris that the husband and wife share, but I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, so, sorry? Right. Right, no, what, wait, let's just continue. Okay. I just think that there's a lot of, I'm just trying to present it in a way that you see there's a lot of repetition in the text. And what you see from the text is that Hashem, maybe the chidush is that Avraham doesn't fully recognize this yet. You know, maybe, I mean, again, the idea of Sarah's name being changed automatically when Avraham's name is being changed. I mean, maybe Sarah doesn't, it seems to me that there's a, you know, there's a message that Hashem is trying to get across. It's good that you recognize it. It doesn't seem that Avraham, when he says, Lilo natata zera, you know, let me just continue, and then you can ask me afterwards. So, again, it's just a reading of the text, but I think, you know, when you go back to the text and you see the emphasis and the re-emphasis of Sarah's role in all this, you see that Sarah's an equal partner to Avraham, and I think, you know, good, if it's pashut to you, so good. So then you see that what happens is he has the bris, and Vatomer Sarah, Tzchok asali Elokim, kol hashomea Yitzchak li. And Sarah laughs, and we'll talk about that laughter also now. And she says, Hashem made a tzchok, and we'll talk about what that tzchok is. And then she goes on, she says, you know, laughter, everybody who hears about this will laugh. But Tomer, mi milel Avraham, heinika banim Sarah, ki yaladati ben lizkunav. Who can believe, you know, that Avraham, you know, and I think this is interesting also, that she's nursing this child, that here Sarah is nursing this child. She's such an old woman, and she's nursing this child. And then what happens? They have another celebration. Vayigdal hayeled vayigamal, vayas Avraham mishteg gadol biyom higamel et Yitzchak. And this child grows up, and again, you have this celebration when the child is weaned, which is also, I think, a very interesting notion here, that I think the message here is that this is all part of the nes, that there's this nes that's surrounding Avraham and Sarah, that not just that he had a bris, but they had a celebration when he was weaned, because here's a 90-year-old woman who's nursing a child. So let's look at the name Yitzchak now for a minute. And if you look at the name Yitzchak, so why is he named Yitzchak? And then we'll go on to the rest of the story with Yishmael's involvement here. So what happens is, why they name him Yitzchak. And the question is, why is he named Yitzchak here? And if you look at the next source... actually, we're going back now. The two types of tzchok in the Ramban. I think it's your eight. Right. It's your source number eight. The Ramban says, by Yitzchak, he says, first of all, Targum Unkelos v'chadi. Targum Unkelos, it's interesting, says, Chedva avad li Hashem. Hashem gave me a simcha. That the tzchok is a simcha, is a joy. Says the Ramban, ki tzchok pam yomar lelag v'pam lesimcha. There are two types of laughter. One is like mocking, and one is like simcha. One is, you know, real happiness. Etc. He says, "Ulefi dati shakavana b'lashon ze ki kol roe inyan nifla be'adam letov lo yismach ad yimalei Hashem tzchok piv." The who masham rasara tzchok asali Elokim ki hashomea yitzchakli ki inyan az yimalei tzchok pinu ulashoninu rina. V'chein asa Avram kasher ne'mar lo ze sameach umelo tzchok piv vayomer belibo ra'u ze lischok ki hu inyan nifla me'od. that this tzchok is a laughter that comes from seeing something miraculous. Again, because it seems a little bit strange that they're calling him Yitzchak. Why would they call him Yitzchak if they're just laughing? And she's laughing and saying, oh, I'm so old, you know, and it's funny that I'm having a child. No, it's obviously much deeper than that. That the tzchok is like the Ramban says, when you see something miraculous, you see something amazing, you just have to laugh. And that's the tzchok here, that he's a miracle, that the fact that Avram and Sarah are so old and they have this child, he is the proof, a living proof of the fact that Avraham and Sarah are the purveyors of the Mesorah. And everything revolved around this miracle. And that's why also in the Tzrua Amor, it says, Tomer Sarah Tzchok Asali Elokim, the next source, V'amar Tzchok Asali Elokim, Lehorot Al Hanes HaGadol Shaita Zkena Bat Tishim, V'Avraham Ben Meya, V'im Kol Zen Natan Lahem Ben, V'Nimu Lachet Yamim. That Hashem made this nes, and that's why Yitzchak became the symbol of the fact that everything that Avraham and Sarah had been conveying was truth, was emes. Because Yitzchak, because it revolved around this miraculous birth. I think it's very interesting to talk, you know, to note that that this everything about the Mesorah, everything, you know, Yitzchak being the chosen one was clear because of the miraculousness surrounding his birth. I just think it's interesting to note that, you know, you have a similar thing in Christianity, which I'm sure they got from Judaism, that so that the proof for them that, you know, Jesus is their, you know, Messiah revolves around a miraculous birth, the Immaculate Conception, which I think is interesting because here it's this miraculous birth which becomes the pillar of the proof that Avram and Sarah are partners in this Mesorah. And along those lines, and if you see the Ramban there says also, it's the Nes. The Ramban says, V'anachon b'enai ki amra tzchok asali Elokim kol hashoma yitzchakli. Because people are going to look, b'fele hanaseli ki mi b'chol hashomim she'amar la'avraham mit'aleh Nobody can ever have imagined that somebody, two people at this age can have a child. So when Yitzchak is named Yitzchak, he's named Yitzchak because everyone's looking at this child and saying, this child is proof that what Avram and Sarah are saying is correct, that there's God in the world, that all this, you know, these monotheistic ideas that they've been espousing is correct. Then what happens is, going on in the Pshat, what does Sarah see? Vateres Sarah et ben Hagar haMitzrit asher yaldal le'Avraham mitzachek. Then Sarah sees that Yishmael is laughing. And this laughter, obviously, is more like the laughter of the la'ag, the mocking, that the Ramban had been talking about previously. And it's so fascinating here that Sarah sees something's going wrong here. She sees that Yishmael is mitzachek. Instead of holding up Yitzchak as a pillar of proof that God is right and Avram and Sarah are the partners of the Mesorah, instead of doing that, Yishmael is making fun of the whole thing. And he's looking at them and he's mocking and he's saying, this is absurd that these old people had this child and this 90-year-old woman is nursing this child. And he's making a mockery out of the whole thing. But Tomer la'Avraham, and Sarah says to Avraham, Garesh ha'ama hazot v'et bina ki lo yirash ben ha'ama hazot im bini im Yitzchak. You have to send her away because he is not going to come in the way and threaten the Mesorah. And of course, Avraham's response, Vayirah ha'davar me'od b'nei Avram al-dot b'no. Avram's very upset. And that's why I think Avram didn't necessarily recognize still. Avram is upset. Al-dot b'no, it's his son. He doesn't want to send his son away. But Sarah was the one who recognized the need to do so. Sarah was the one who had that insight, which I talked about last year, who recognized, was able to look past the present into the future and say, this is a problem. This is a threat to the Mesorah. And that's why Hashem turns to Avram, Vayomer Elokim el Avram, Al yira be'enecha al ha'na'ar ve'al ha'matecha, Kol asher tamar elecha Sarai, Shma be'kola, Ki bi'yitzchak yikare lecha zera. And Hashem turns to Avram, and this is the great line here, right? Listen to your wife. She knows what she's talking about. Everything Sarah says, listen to her, because ki bi'yitzchak yikare lecha zera. Because Yitzchak is going to be your zera. And if anything comes in the way of this, i.e. Yishmael, she's right. He has to be sent out, even if he's your son and you feel bad about it. Sarah recognized this point. And so you see, not only is her role so key in giving birth to this child who's going to be the Zera, but it's also in protecting of the Mesorah. She's also vigilant in protecting that Mesorah when she sees that there's a threat to it. Just to end with the last point here, I think that there's something very interesting going on here. I think, first of all, Rivka, as we see the second of the Imahot, has to do the very same thing. When she sees, I'm not going to go into that obviously now, that's a separate whole shir, but when she sees that also the Mesorah is threatened, and Esav is threatening the Mesorah of Yaakov, so she also has to take action, and she has to go forward and you know, be vigilant in saving the Mesorah. What I think is interesting here is that the Torah, again, you're asking, it's Pashat. Yeah, it is Pashat. It's good that it's Pashat. It's in the Pshat, but things in the Pshat we don't necessarily always notice. And this last point here, if you see, second to last point, the greatest pinnacle of Avraham's relationship with Hashem is, you don't have this source in front of you, but the greatest pinnacle of his relationship with Hashem is by that Kedah. When he's ready to give up this child that he's been waiting for so long, and he's ready to sacrifice it to Hashem. And there's something that's just so incredible that's happening here. That in Perek Chaf Bet, after the Akedah, if you ask anyone, you know, what happens after the Akedah? Well, after the Akedah, then we have Chayasara, Parshat Chayasara, and Chayasara dies, which we'll get to in a second. But there are a few psukim, the last four psukim or five psukim of Parshat Vayera. After this whole big Akedah, the pinnacle of Avraham's relationship with Hashem, he's ready to sacrifice his son that he waited for so long for. He's ready to sacrifice him to Hashem. There are then a few psukim. You know, Avraham goes back to Be'er Sheva, and the psukim read, Vayhi achar drim ha'ele, vayugad la'avraham leymar, hine yalda milka gam hi banim lenachar achicha et utz b'choro v'et buz achi v'et kemuel avi aram. All of a sudden, we have a list of birth announcements. It's very strange. I never understood. My husband pointed this out to me, actually, that you have, you know, in this incredible moment of Avraham's relationship with Hashem, you have a list of birth announcements that Avraham heard that his long-lost relatives had all these children. And in this list, Ubesuel yalad et Rivka. And in this list, Rivka emerges. Rivka is born. And I think the fact that Rivka comes in this list right after the Akedah, I think that's the Torah's way of telling us, it's Hashem's way of telling us, all these great things, the Akedah, the Bris Ben Habsarim, the Nevuot, all these things that Avraham and Yitzchak are being promised are all good and amazing, but you need the woman, you need Sarah, you need the Rivka there also, because you can't do it without them. And that's why we have this list of birth announcements, and the importance of this is that Rivka is now emerging. And Rivka needs to emerge before Sarah dies. And that's why Rivka now is on the scene. She's been born. And then the beginning of Chayasara, and of course it's just so interesting how the Parsha of Chayasara is called Chayasara when in fact Sarah dies in the second Pasuk. And yet the whole Parsha is called the life of Sarah. And what happens here is that Sarah dies, and right after Sarah dies, it's almost like at this moment after Sarah dies that Hashem, that Avraham realizes fully the importance of Sarah. That at that point, you know, after the Anochi Holech Ariri Vehein Lilo Natata, you know, Zerah, now he realizes more than he ever realized before how crucial Sarah was in this whole partnership. And that's why as soon as Sarah dies, and after he buries her and he buys Mamrat Machpelah, and that's, you know, he does what he does for Sarah, that's when he turns now to Yitzchak and says, now Yitzchak has to have a Sarah in order to continue on with the Mesorah. And that's why he says, V'Avram Zakein Babayamim, as Avram's older and he's about to die, he can't die yet until he has made sure that Yitzchak has the Sarah that he had, until Yitzchak has the partner that he had. And that's why it's not just enough to have given birth to Yitzchak. It's not just enough to have had the child that's going to be the Zerah that, you know, Hashem is promising him, but he has to make sure that this Zerah is going to be protected. And he recognizes the only way that this Zerah is going to be protected is that this Zerah has to have the protector, the vigilant, you know, aim, the vigilant mother that's going to protect that Mesorah. And that's why when Rivka's found, it's incredible, actually. When Rivka's found, first of all, Eliezer comes back, and I'm just going to read you the psukim. You don't have them in front of you, but Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, you know, Yitzchak goes out in the field, and Rivka's coming with Eliezer. Vatisa Rivka et eineha, vatere et Yitzchak, vatipol me'al hagamal, and she sees Yitzchak and falls off her camel. It's a funny pasuk. Vatomer el ha'eved, mi ha'ish ha'lazeh ha'olech basadeh likrateinu. And she turns to Eliezer and she says, who's this man who's coming towards us? Because Yitzchak was out there in the field. And what does Eliezer reply? Vayomer ha'eved, hu adoni. And Eliezer replies, he's my master. And you look at that pasuk and you say, that's not true. Abraham's Eliezer's master. If Abraham is the one who sent Eliezer on his mission, Eliezer should have come back and reported to Abraham. But at this point, once Rivka's found, Abraham is completely out of the picture. And Eliezer comes back and he says, he's Adoni. And Vayisaper ha'eved liYitzchak et kol hadrim ha'ele. And now Abraham's out of the picture because his job is done. Not just done because he gave birth to Yitzchak. His job is done because he has now set up Yitzchak with the right wife. And that's why when Eliezer comes back, now Yitzchak is his new master. And Abraham is not mentioned at all anymore. Abraham's over with. And now Yitzchak is the key player in this Masorah. And of course, the whole cyclical life cycle here, Vayevieha Yitzchak ha'ohala Sarah imo, and Yitzchak wants to make sure that Rivka is going to follow in Sarah's footsteps also. Vayikach et Rivka vathilo li'isha vayehaveha vayinachem Yitzchak achare imo. And Yitzchak takes Rivka to Sarah's ohel, and she takes the place of Sarah, and we know the Rashi that says that the three things that were there when Sarah was alive have now returned, and once he sees that now Rivka is going to take that place and be the partner, the active partner that Sarah was, now vayinachem Yitzchak achareimo, now he could be comforted, and now he knows that he's able to be the conveyor of the Masorah. That's it.